Thank you, Daniela. It was a wonderful segue into my talk, actually. So today, I appreciate again that I can be part of this wonderful panel, and I'm truly, as my colleagues are, passionate about patient and community involvement, truly the involvement of the end users of health and healthcare, which are arguably our patients and our healthcare professionals, and of course the community as well, have to be involved from the earliest stages of research, agenda development, and prioritization. And so let me, coming from a similar but a little bit different perspective, show you a model that we are developing within the area of methods. So I'm going to talk about the patient-directed queries network, or PDQNet, that tries to listen to the voice of patients and community groups out there and learn from them. We are leveraging the best practices methodology that we have been using for decades in primary care practice-based research. And those of you who know about PBRNs will recognize that. And those of you who haven't heard about PBRNs, I encourage you to look them up on the AHRQ website. Some of these methods are applicable to patient and community research. And of course, community-based participatory research is very much involved. So I have nothing to disclose today. Let me show what is the theoretical underpinning, or where the angle I'm coming from. So we all know that the traditional community-involved research, but mostly academic research, is rather a push from academia to patients and community groups. The agenda is mostly driven by academic researchers and shaped by these researchers. The questions are designed and formulated mostly by academic experts. And patients or community groups are in some sort of advisory capacity, helping the academicians answer their questions. They may provide limited input, and they may have limited role. They might be paid for their participation, some sort of incentive, but they are not really truly engaged, certainly not in the formulation of the research, and they usually don't develop a lasting relationship and infrastructure in which the laboratory is the human relationships, or at least contains the human relationships. So let's turn this paradigm upside down, or turn the tables, and say, what if we can find communities who are already very engaged in research and have some capacity to do that? They have their own questions and problems, not necessarily research questions, but problems they need to solve. And they reach out and engage academic researchers and professionals in order to help them answer their questions. In this capacity, researchers are more in the consultative role. This is a respectful and reciprocal relationship, and it's built on consensus. And a research agenda is driven mostly by the community, although they do rely in a reciprocal manner on the knowledge and expertise of the academic researchers. So we set out in a 3-year method study to do that, basically to go out and look for these communities, look for these patient consumer groups and community groups, and help advise PCORI about good practices, or in some cases maybe even best practices, how these communities and patient groups can set the agenda of research and help prioritize the research agenda. And we do all of this in primary care. It's a very unique perspective, and I think all three of us come from that perspective. It is important, since arguably most care is delivered and received in some sort of primary care or outpatient setting. So figuring this out in that setting is particularly important. There are some particulars of this setting. One is its broadness. So sometimes we do focus on diseases and conditions, but there are many other ways to look at priorities, such as patient goals for living longer, living better, prevention and wellness in general. There are so many areas to prioritize, and where the patient voices need to be heard. And you see that we are also in the methods portfolio, so I will not reiterate that. So again, in summary, the purpose of the PDQNet project is to engage these community organizations and learn from them in terms of how they reach out and engage with researchers, and how they prioritize research topics, and then inform the PCORI research agenda with what we learn. So who are our partners, our stakeholders? We have patient consumer organizations. Some of these are very small groups, others are larger, but specifically patient driven. We have what we call direct service organizations, such as community health centers, or in Los Angeles, we have the Latino Health Access Network serving a particular population. We have community coalitions, and I'm sure you are familiar with, of course, Turning Points, but also the evolving county health improvement organizations, which are part of the ACA as the primary care health extension network, which is a very interesting evolving model. We involve them as well. And, of course, we definitely involve practice-based research networks as well. So the 3 years and the three overlapping aims or matching aims our horizon scan that we are doing right now that includes an organizational inventory survey going out to these organizations, some of which we have pre-identified, others have been identified during the process. We have done a systematic literature review, particularly from this viewpoint, and we just completed some key informant interviews and we are working on the report. Next year, we will do an engagement scan using appreciative inquiry and concept mapping, helped by national experts who use these techniques. We will ask the question of how these communities, how these groups engage researchers to learn from them. And finally, we will also do a prioritization inquiry where we will learn about their prioritization processes as well as introduce conceptual value of information approach and see whether that could further improve from the communities or the patient groups' perspective, the prioritization process. So here are the three sites. We have a site in Oklahoma, one in Buffalo, New York, and one in Los Angeles. And each site has three different stakeholders, groups of stakeholders. Either patient groups, such as the Patient Voices Network in Buffalo, New York, a relatively small but very effective group of representing patients' voices. We have the Stephens County County Health Improvement Organization in our network, the Oklahoma site, as a community-based stakeholder. And we have the Latino Health Access group, including mostly direct services to Latino patients through Promotoras in Los Angeles. Then we have a group of practice-based research networks. Each site has one, OKPR and UNINET and LENET. And the third partner group is, of course, academic researchers who need that sort of interface to engage with the patients and communities. We developed a project structure that we think that is helpful in terms of turning around information rapidly. So key to this process, of course, is for these communities and groups to be engaged in the very process of developing the methodology. So as you see, the core research team of about 10 have liaisons in the wider group of community leadership team, including 17 individuals, who then are individually and personally connected to different domains of the three sites, and they are then connected to the wider community. So with this structure, we are seeing good results in terms of gauging and being able to turn information around, being able to involve these communities, helping us develop methods. So we expect that patient voices will be better heard in this process. We expect that the methods of engaging researchers by patients will be improved. And, of course, we also expect that engaged patient and community organizations will be better equipped, so their interfacing capacity will be improving. This is, again, just to show we have done all of these in year one, and they're finishing with our report that we're writing on these activities to PCORI. We have collected a wealth of information from these organization inventories. This is just to show a little bit of that, but let me summarize the key points. We surveyed 12 of these highly engaged organizations with a spread in the three sites. Most of them were community-based organizations or patient groups. We actually had to develop a new nomenclature just to denote, just to be able to encompass them in the course of the project. We used terms that you heard, direct service patient organizations, healthcare convener organizations, and so forth. Many of these organizations, of course, focus on healthy communities and particularly low-income, underserved, and minority populations. And there was over half of these communities emphasized that there must be a shared researcher community initiation of research and collaboration. Let me show you just, again, the literature review. We looked through 300 articles, selected 58 from representing 39 journals. And interestingly, we had to go to the international literature. Our friends from the UK have been working on this topic, community patient engagement, longer than we have, and so we definitely wanted to tap into that. And on the bottom, you can see how many systematic reviews and so forth. So this was a systematic review process in which we have learned a lot. We could just talk about that in this talk, but let me highlight three areas of importance. So we have seen a dearth of engagement models, from being in the passenger seat to being the driver. In terms of defining engagement, not defining it at all, to the very sophisticated models of the Involve project in the UK, where bidirectional relationships drive the process. Most of these emphasize the capacity for infrastructure building, for partnership and interfacing on all sides. And they also emphasize that there must be a mutual benefit to all the parties in order to really be fruitful and sustainable. We added to this that practice-based research networks need to be on the radar for community engagement, because they have developed public-private partnerships and methods to interface academia with the field of practitioners and the community out there. So they look like an important and interesting piece to the understanding and the puzzle. We just completed our key informant interviews in patient and community organizations and also in practice-based research networks. And this is what we found. So very just a high-level summary, as we are still working on the analysis. Trusting relationships. None of these are new in the sense that you have seen it in the presentation before. So respect and researchers to have that respectful relationship, working through, engaging through linkers and gateway connectors to the community is paramount. And everything occurs and happens through these trusting personal relationships. Engagement capacity is highly dependent on the experiences of the group, of patient groups and community groups. Not only that, how well they can engage researchers or work with researchers, but also what positive or negative experiences they had in the past that can facilitate or hinder their engagement and participation. Alignment of goals, there seems to be an optimal range of overlapping goals. It doesn't work if everything is on the academic side and the patients come along to answer those questions. But the same way, the academicians also need to be invested and interested in the goals of the community. Targeting action, of course, academicians produce a lot of theoretical material, but we really are interested in and must be interested in answering those practical problems and issues that communities and patients have. So we too need to be action-oriented. Action research, community-based participatory research, has the capacity to do that. And then partnership. That it quotes from some of our key interviewees, it goes both ways. It works only if we are ready to share and be transparent. Let me just highlight very briefly the special role of practice-based research network. They have, as I mentioned, have been able to link siloed entities, academia and various communities, or building public and private partnerships. Being both in the academic world and speaking that language, but at the same time also speaking the language of the community and understanding the community, in this role they are ideally suited to be honest brokers and linkers between them. They also work at multiple levels, patient level, community level, organizational, even state and regional level. And since this is a public health conference, they also work and understand the language of public health. so they can integrate that component. Since all of our sites have practice-based research network, we are exploring in detail how they can be leveraged and how PCORI in the future can leverage their participation and engagement. So in summary, what we have found, as I mentioned, there are so many of these organizations that are engaged or patient groups engaged in research at a certain level, but relatively few are fully equipped to be in more in the driver's seat. We are trying to find these organizations and learn from them. Summarizing the literature in this area is really not that easy. It requires attention to constantly shifting nomenclature and constantly shifting ideas and models. And that our key interviewees taught us a lot and emphasized that shared capacity building to interface researchers and patients and community entities are in the center of this process. These are all of our partners, of course, in addition to PCORI, our funder. We have, as I mentioned, our patient participants, Patient Voices Network, and the Latino Health Access Network. And we have community coalitions, including Pathways to Health of Stevens County and the three PBRNs, UNINET, OKPR, and LANET. Thank you very much. I can take some questions now, and then later we'll have a discussion. Is not enough. Yes. Well, again, we have seen it both in the community of our clinicians as well as the community of our patients that they really don't, their questions are not research questions. You know, academicians think of the world as first you have to have a hypothesis, you have to have a research question, you need to answer that, and then somehow once you did that and published that, it will take care of the rest. Well, that's not how things work. Actually, it's the other way around. Communities come to us with problems, and we need to formulate, we are a piece of the solution by formulating research questions and answering those questions. And working with the community from that perspective is inherently more action-oriented and result-oriented and implementation-oriented than the other way around. Does it make sense? Yes. Yes, thank you for that question. Sort of by design included different types of patient groups. PCORI is doing a lot of work with organizations like Patient Like Me, so we did not want to duplicate that work. What we, as I said, we wanted to tap into those groups that are engaged in the realm of primary care and have a broad perspective. And not necessarily focusing on one particular condition or disease, but want to be engaged in general to help us set the research agenda. So that could be, of course, that could be within one condition such as pain, but then you can open it up. What is most important for you? What kind of, and when you go to ask primary care researchers, they would say, well, what patients come in with, but we need to, you know, be more sophisticated about it. There may be more consensus in some areas, but it's really difficult to follow because it's also dependent on some of the political and cultural developments which tend to shape the language that we use. And sometimes words or terms are used for the same thing or the approximately same thing in a different way. So it's difficult to predict, and therefore these reviews, I suspect, we'll have to keep doing them to capture that. Okay. Thank you.